Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
All right. Discovery Episode 3, Context is for Kings. Spoilers ahead, but first, we're going to give our initial reactions to this episode. Aaron.
This episode is literally fantastic. This is like, you know, we were a little bit... we weren't too sure about the first two episodes. We loved it, but there was like little things like question marks hanging in the air. This is like it. Like, I don't know. Everything about this episode was fantastic. I can't get over the science, the literal science fiction of it is so fun. The adventure to everything behind everything is just, I don't know. It's just, it's fantastic. I can't say much enough good things about this.
It was fantastic. I'm with you. I loved just about every single thing about this episode. I felt like it was going to be really slow, like at first, but then it picks up and it's really good. I was really surprised.
And the intrigue behind everything.
They're setting up so much stuff in this episode. There's so much.
Yeah. And you're just like, you're constantly wondering what's happening, why things are happening, and you don't have all the information, but you're getting like little tiny clues through this, and you just want to see more, and then the clues you see are like, what the heck is this? What the heck is that about? You know, so yeah, I mean, without getting into full spoilers right now, I mean, it's just, if you had any doubt that Discovery was not going to be a good series, this Episode 3 puts it to bed. This is going to be a fantastic series.
I wish they would have led with this episode and then did a flashback.
Yeah.
To get the background, because this episode was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. This is great.
This is really good. I can't say, you know, I mean, just going on initial reactions, I was blown away. I loved it. It was beautiful, just like as beautiful as the first episode. Maybe not as heavy on the special effects as the first two episodes, but it was still absolutely beautiful. And they hit it out of the park with this. This is new Star Trek in your face.
Yeah, so good. So good. All right, well, if there's anything else that you wanted to say about this before we get into it, we should just... give everyone warning of spoilers.
Yeah, this is we're going into spoiler territory now. That was just our initial reactions. You know, I can't say much about the episode without spoiling it, because everything is a spoiler, because everything is a new question that's waiting to be unveiled later on in the season, hopefully.
Right.
Everything.
Yeah, and there's like, you can tell there's all these little puzzle pieces that are going to be coming together, and we just got like a huge piece of the puzzle on this episode, and it still leaves you wanting to see more what's in that picture of that puzzle. So, so good.
Absolutely. So we start off exactly where you think you're going to start off from the preview last week. They see her with some other prisoners on a shuttlecraft just flying out.
Right. So they're going to some mining facility. When they're all of a sudden, there's a some issues with the ship, and the driver goes in the back of the shuttlecraft to make some adjustments.
Well, it's not adjustments. There's like these microscopic, or not microscopic, but like very small creatures that are going to suck all the energy out of the ship. And so she's putting on a spacesuit to go scrub them off the ship, and her tether breaks.
Yeah, she goes flying by. That's it. And then the prisoner's like, oh my God, we're going to die. And while
I don't understand. On a prisoner ship, there's always two guys on the bus. There's one guy driving the bus and one guy watching the prisoners. Why is there only one person on this bus?
I don't know.
On the space bus.
Yeah, the space bus. I just got, I got the whole Harrison Ford, The Fugitive movie.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
I thought in my mind. I was like, okay, where's the train? Gotta hit that bus.
It wasn't a train. It was a tractor beam. Just when you think they're done for, tractor beam beams them out of the storm they're in.
Yeah, you know, just to go back with this, when this started, Michael Berman's on this bus or shuttlecraft.
The prison bus.
Yeah, she's on the prison bus. And when this whole thing goes down, she does not react to it whatsoever.
She's all the numb.
Yeah, all the other prisoners are, like, losing their mind trying to get out of their handcuffs and their shackles. They can't get out. And she's just sitting there, like, just like, if death's coming, let it come.
Let it come. You know, I deserve it. Because she quoted, like, you know, 8,126 or something people have died in the first 2 days of the war. Although they didn't say the first 2 days in the show. I think they said it in the trailer. But I think they cut the 2 days part. They just said that 8,000-some casualties have happened. Which I thought was strange that they cut the 2 days part from the show. I don't remember them saying 2 days in the show. Maybe I just missed it. But I feel like it was cut from the show. And she's just waiting for death to come. She's numb. Although I do kind of want to talk about that a little bit. I feel like in her court martial, she just took it all on herself because she had that self fulfilling prophecy where if you kill Takuvma, then you're starting a war because he's a martyr.
Mm-hmm.
That self fulfilling prophecy, she did that. I think she kind of went into the court martial and took all the responsibility on herself. When in reality, the war was going to happen either way. Because of the beacon and the calling of the Klingon houses all together.
Well, that might be the true, but she wasn't getting blamed for the starting the war. She got blamed for trying to take over the ship and start the, you know, firing on the Klingon ship. She's
the mutiny is what they are always throwing at her face. But they also say, oh, you started this war.
Like,
war would have started on its own.
Yeah, that's like what somebody could easily say, you know, like, oh, blame it on her because, you know, all this death and all this destruction had started. But when we know the real truth that, like you said, the war would have started on its own, is that she just acted.
She became the poster child just because of a rash action.
Yeah, and maybe not even illogical rash action, but something that broke all the rules, of course, so.
Oh, yeah, you broke Starfleet's rule. I mean, like, you know, mutiny. I thought it was weird that when she got to the Discovery that the security officer called her the first Starfleet mutineer. I'm like, really? The first?
Ever?
Ever? I'm like...
I mean, that's a good point.
I'm like, really? Like, nobody? Like, wasn't there almost kind of a mutiny in Enterprise, sort of? Maybe it was an alternate timeline that didn't actually happen or some kind of non sequitur episode. Who knows?
Could have been.
But I just feel like never...
Yeah.
And also, going back to last episode, one thing we did not mention last week is this: they said the Klingons hadn't been seen for like 100 years. And I'm also kind of like, really?
Yeah.
100 years? Like, as much as they love doing Star Trek prequels lately, if you do another prequel to Discovery, I'm like, you're really going to write Klingons? I hope they don't do another prequel. I hope if they do anything, it'll be going forward, at least after this time period.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just like, ah, you're writing yourselves into a corner if you decide to do another prequel.
Yeah, now we got nothing to go back on. Well, you could go do the
Romulan War. That's true.
That'd be interesting. Well, this going forward, this, like you said, the U.S. Discovery tractor beams the transport and pulls their ship into their landing docking bay. The prisoners all get off the ship, and then we have this Commander Landry of the Discovery introduce herself, and she starts leading the prisoners into the ship. Automatically, Landry's right in Berman's face right away.
Oh yeah,
you know, without without any provocation, you know, just like, oh, Michael Berman, you. So I was like, wow.
And then for some reason, now that they're all unshackled and having lunch, the other prisoners decide to kill Michael Burnham in the middle in front of everybody, which is that didn't make a lot of sense.
That got a little, but one thing that happened real quickly in between while they were walking, they noticed all the science badges on their uniforms, but then somebody says, what are black badges? Oh, and I'm thinking
Section 31. Well, the ship's ship's 1031. Something definitely is going weird on the ship, and Captain Lorca isn't all what he seems to be.
Right, right. So there is definitely a mystery going on. So just when they say, "What are the black badges?" I've never seen black badges before, and all of a sudden the mystery starts. We're getting set up to something more than we got before, and this is the cool thing. It's like, wait a second. My mind goes to Section 31.
Mine too.
So, nice. Black Ops.
Black Ops, black. And we get a black alert later on.
Yeah. It's just like, what's a black
alert? What's a black alert?
That sounds racist.
What is this? This is new. Anyway, the mess hall fight ensues when she beats down all three prisoners single-handedly.
With Vulcan martial arts.
Yeah, with Vulcan martial arts apparently involve throwing your food at your enemy.
Food fight!
Food fight foo! It's the Vulcan way. Only time it's illogical to waste your food is when you're throwing it at your enemy.
Yeah, so anyways, so Commander Landry puts a stop on for that. She's like,
all right. Oh, yeah, the captain wants to see you. Like, how? Like,
right now.
Suddenly the captain wants to see you, even though there's been no communique.
Even though you just beat up those prisoners and you haven't finished your chow yet.
Oh, her chow's on the floor. I don't think she wants to finish it.
Eat it.
And Captain Lorca, like, I love his introduction. He's like, he's looking out into the stars. He talks about the room being dark because he's got some kind of injury to his eyes. Mm-hmm. The only way his eyes can heal is if he's like just in dark as much as he possibly can be.
And he has a bowl of fortune cookies.
A giant bowl of fortune cookies.
Part of the old family business, apparently, down south. They're making the fortune cookies.
Down south. I wonder if his family fed him to Bones' family.
I mean, it's like, what?
And Trip Tucker's family. Yeah. You got to have all your Southerners represented in Star Trek. Oh, I love everything about Lorca. He's got the friendly face, but he's super stern. And then he's got this amazing dark secret at the end of the episode. I can't wait to learn more about this.
He's an interesting guy. So, yeah, Captain Gabriel Lorca, and he explains the eye injury, that he is sensitive to light, and that Michael Berman suspects that she's not in Discovery just by chance, that their ship diverted their route midway. So
she said she was also called out with no prior orders. Mm-hmm. Well, she said that was odd.
And Lorca says something like, the universe hates waste. So meaning that Michael Berman's talents or her attributes would be wasted on a mining facility.
So, yeah, or just sitting in jail, you know.
Right. Berman is put into an engineering project, which she doesn't know anything about. She initially doesn't want to go. And then from there, he's like,
oh, she's like, no one's getting a free pass on my ship. I'm putting you to work. He assigns her quarters and she's got like the greenest cadet rooming with her ever.
Cadet Tilly.
Tilly.
And she seems very nervous. She makes just bad jokes and says inappropriate things, or maybe not inappropriate, but
she's just super awkward.
Yeah, very awkward.
Very extremely awkward character. It'll be interesting, especially since Burnham is so like straight shooter, since they're like roommates now. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how they rub off on each other going forward. This is where we get our black alert. And right. Tilly was like, "Were you briefed?" Michael was like, "No." And so, "Well, I can't tell you." And so she just rolls over and she's like, "What the fuck is going on the ship?"
And then she's seeing liquid floating in the air and coming off like tables and stuff like that. And she's like,
"It looks like it just condensates out of the air. It's weird."
Yeah, it's really strange.
And then when it falls and it just evaporates immediately. It's so weird. It's really cool looking.
It's very cool and it's very bizarre. And a black alert is
black alert.
You're just like, what? I mean, what's a black alert? I mean, we have yellow alert. We have red alert. What's a black alert?
I don't know. I'm waiting for them to explain what black alert means, other than, you know, weird stuff happens. Or maybe that's all it needs to mean. Weird stuff happens when there's a black alert called.
Yeah, yeah. Next we have Berman's ready to leave, and she's going on duty where First Officer Saru meets her at the door.
He escorts her, is talking. They have some pleasantries, as much as can be expected between people who used to be kind of best friends, and now they're like, you're dangerous, Michael. I'm going to hold you at arm's length.
Right, right.
I don't hate you. I just think you're dangerous. And you know me in danger. I don't like danger.
I keep away from danger. Danger is not my middle name.
No.
Safety's my
middle name. Safety's my middle name. Most definitely. But getting to hear more of Saru, I'm really starting to dig Saru as a character.
Yeah, he's interesting. And we're seeing a little bit more of him, that he's... At first, it kind of painted him as a scaredy cat kind of character, but I think he just plays it really safe.
Yeah, you know? And he's definitely being more fleshed out in this episode a little bit. Get to hear a little bit more about him. He eats blueberries. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
You were going to say blackberries.
No, I was going to say blackberries. For those black alerts. Oh, it's time for blackberries. Oh, good. I want a black alert. I love blackberries.
I'm going to eat more blackberries.
Oh, it's black alert time. Okay, mandatory. You must eat blackberries.
Nice. Anyway, so
she meets.
From there, we get he takes him to engineering, says you're going to be working with this engineering crew. He doesn't give her any information, and he kind of just leaves her to go in.
Everyone's telling her wrong because they don't want to be near her. And then when finally the guy who's leading the team comes out of the botany area,
right?
He's like, it's not like we have assigned seats. And then she kind of looks at the woman who's like, yeah, Tilly.
Well, Tilly told her there's not assigned seats. So, and we get what's his name, Lieutenant Stamets.
Stamets.
That playing by Anthony Rapp, and he's extremely. How do you describe him? He's extremely tight-laced. He obviously highly intelligent, but doesn't have a lot of tolerance for anything or anybody.
Oh no! Like he's like, I got a feeling he wants to mutiny the captain.
He's like, damn,
Starfleet's second mutineer.
Yeah, Berman took my own. Berman took.
She beat me to it.
Took it out of my playbook.
But I like him. He's interesting. He's really intense. And he loves his science-y stuff. And there's a breath analyzer to get you into the secret room, which is interesting.
Yeah, we've never seen a breath analyzer before.
No, but the thing I loved is that he gave her one of those yellow tapes, and it looked, you know, it looked more like an isolinear chip, but it was the shape of those tapes in TOS. I was like, yes, it looks like a tape. I mean, it looks cooler, but it looks like the same size and shape as those tapes. I was like, yes,
right.
It's clearly linking the TOS.
He says there's some lines of code, and he says to reconcile these two lines of codes that they're in there, and he says get busy. And later on, she comes back to Stamets. Berman comes back to Stamets saying, from the, you know,
you're a bad programmer. I found some errors in your code.
Well, not just that. Is it would help if I know what we're actually working on.
Are we talking about biology or are we talking about physics?
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Interesting way of thinking of things.
Right.
And his character basically explains to her a little bit later that they're the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. That they're all connected in the fabric of the universe. Which is bizarre. But so we did see Stamets go into the whatever, the isolation chamber, and he breathes into the machine and lets him in. Berman sees that, so she wants to find out what's going on. So while Cadet Tilly's sleeping, she
captures some of her drool.
Man, that's going to a level I didn't think we'd ever see in Star Trek.
Captures some drool. She gets like a
a hypo spray?
Yeah, she gets a hypo spray and sprays it, and so like the air shoots out.
Yeah,
and breathalyzes the spit in the rag.
Again, I don't think we're ever going to see this.
Something new in Star Trek.
Yeah, it's the shooting spit inside of a machine.
And then it opens up. And this looks a lot different than it did in the original, the trailer, where she, this is where the trailer, where she steps into, and the trailer looked like a giant field of weed. This looks like a bunch of different plants. Like, this looks completely different than it did in the trailer, to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
because there's like all these different plants, all these different shapes and sizes, and to me in the trailer, this looks like a solid weed field. So I was like, "Huh, that's interesting."
Right. Right. And so this is the fungi growing garden, or what do you want to call it?
Arboretum.
Growing room or something. Yeah. So so she's like, obviously she broke in, she saw all that, but she doesn't know what it is, and she knows that fungi has something to do with what they're working on. But she doesn't know anything more than that, so...
Yeah, and then the next day in the lab, Lorca busts in. He's like, yeah, because actually he was talking to his friend, who was after she...
Stamets was talking to his friend.
Talking to was actually his partner, who he was working on this the fungi with, initially. And he's like, oh, you can't do this. It doesn't seem like it's going to work right. And then find out the next day, it didn't work right.
Right,
and the whole crew of another Discovery class. I don't know if it's a Discovery class ship. It's a sister ship to the Discovery. The Glenn, I thought was funny.
The Glenn?
Wasn't it called the Glenn?
I thought it was the Clarin.
I thought the sister ship was the Glenn, because that way it kind of ties into Walking Dead, and it's kind of funny that everyone died on that ship.
I thought it was the Clarin, but I could have been wrong. That's what I wrote down, that it was the Clarin. So.
I thought it was a Glenn. I might have misheard. I was looking for Walking Dead references, maybe.
Anything.
Well, Sinequa Martin Green, you know, she's Walking Dead, you know?
Right. Nice. Well, yeah, so there was the Discovery sister ship was had they didn't say it's disabled or something happened to their crew and they have to go.
Everyone died.
They had a black alert maneuver in Klingon territory. So they're going to, Stamets going to assemble his team. He tells them to include Michael Berman. Lieutenant Stamets does not want to have Berman on his team, but he says, this is not a democracy. You're going to do it.
I love the captain. He's like, you do what I say.
it is interesting that that came up. So they get together. So it's Lieutenant Stamets, Michael Berman, the cadet Tilly, Commander Landry,
and a red shirt,
and a pilot.
Guess who doesn't make it out?
It would have been funny if it was Tilly, because she made such a strong impression right away, and then she didn't make it. It'd be like,
Oh, poor Tilly. No, but it's the red shirt. It's the random security guy. He does not make it.
No, he doesn't make it.
But they go to the sister ship of the Discovery, and it is like this show turns into a horror show at this point. There's weird noises.
So much crazy stuff happening.
There's like corpses of all sorts of things. Like, this is where Star Trek's getting that MA, you know, behind a paywall graphicness, because there's like disfigured corpses all over the place, especially when they find Anthony Rapp's, you know, science partner. His face is all kinds of messed up.
Yeah, so the crew members are like literally like distorted. They're like warped. And there are Klingons aboard, and they're all stacked up. They're like corpses of Klingons just stacked on top of each other.
All dead, and then Tilly's like, she hears something, but it's like some creature in the background. At first I thought it might be a Targ, since they said the Klingons were on the ship. But then it was like, oh wait, no, Targs probably wouldn't kill all the Klingons. Yeah. This has got to be something else.
We see a Batleth on the ground too.
Yeah. And Tilly's like, come out of the dark. Who? And then a Klingon just walks out and goes, shh.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And it was so bizarre. And then all of a sudden he gets taken by the animal.
Yeah,
the creature.
This gigantic alien creature. I can't even describe what it even looks like. It's so bizarre. It's on all fours. It's got a smooth head, but it's got like I don't know. It's enormous too. It's got to be the size of a car, you know, a large sedan,
like a Pinto.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so, it's bizarre looking. And like, I just thought it was weird the Klingon didn't attack them. I guess the Klingon was scared to be like, shh. It was a weird moment, especially for races that are at war. So he must have been really scared of what was on that ship.
So they go to their sister ship's engineering section, and this is they lock the door, but then the creature's just ramming into the door and smashing through it, trying to smash through it.
Like a Pinto would.
Like a Pinto would. And at the same time, you get they're trying to retrieve ship logs and any kind of data. It seems like a lot of the computers are all messed up, but there's some equipment that they're pulling off of it out of their out of the engineering section as well. When the Landry's trying to Commander Landry's trying I'm saying Landry Landry is Landry. Trying to is trying to shoot through the door of an opposite door so they can get out of the engineering room while the creature's going through trying to smash through the other door. It's taken her a long time
to melt the door. Yeah, with the phaser. It's interesting.
She gives they give Michael Berman a phaser
so she can distract the beast,
right? And when she breaks through, or when the creature breaks through, Michael Berman starts firing her phaser at the creature to have it start chasing her.
And we get our first look at the Jeffries tubes in Discovery.
Yeah, more Jeffries tubes. What would be Star Trek without Jeffries?
You gotta have Jeffries tubes on Star Trek.
So she's running through the Jeffries tubes, and she's reciting Alice in Wonderland.
I thought that was great. I feel like that was a very Star Trek thing to do, like recite some kind of like old classic literature, like, you know, right. Moby Dick and, you know, in Star Trek First Contact. And it just seems like a Star Trek thing to do, like reciting some like old, especially for them in the future, really old literature.
Yeah, yeah. And this is like her going into the rabbit hole right now.
Exactly.
So, the creature's chasing her through the Jeffries tubes. During that time, the rest of the away team must have got onto the shuttle and said, "Hey, Berman, where are you?" And she says, "I'm blah 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 someplace. Open the top of the door. open the top of the shuttlecraft, and I'll jump down." Just when the creature's about to jump on her, she jumps down, and the shuttlecraft takes off and gets away. She kind of wins kudos with the crew, basically
for being badass and kind of helping save the day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Next we get on the bridge, we have a brief moment with Saru, who said that she was always been a valuable asset to Starfleet. Saru also said that she's the most intelligent Starfleet officer he ever worked with. So that was later on, earlier in the show. So Saru obviously has a lot of respect for her. So
yeah, for sure.
Berman goes to Captain Lorca's ready room, and he invites her to stay on to the Discovery. And
she's giving this convoluted reason why he wants her to stay. And he like does a site-to-site transport and like shows her what the spores do.
And this is when it really starts blowing your mind. Apparently, the spores aren't just regular spores. You want to tell everybody what
they're like magic spores. They can they can teleport you. Like maybe they figured out what the Iconians can do. They can like just span anywhere, because like he puts her into this chamber and he sends her to like Andoria and different places on Earth and different places around the galaxy like instantly. And since he's inside the chamber, like I guess she can still hear him from outside the chamber, but he's like just right. Sending her all these different places real quick through this like weird transporter they have. I guess I don't know if it's a transporter or not. I guess we'll hopefully get some explanation of this later, but it's super fascinating. And so he kind of like is just giving her like the good old speech and being like, you know, this can change the war, because that's what his directive is. His directive is to help end the war. Like that's his mission, according to him. And so it's super interesting. And like he wins her over, and the shuttlecraft flies off the three cons, and then Saru's like fear receptors prickle up.
Yeah,
he knows Michael's not gone.
That was interesting. It was interesting that kicked in right then. Yeah,
because she's like, oh wait, Michael's not gone. We're in trouble.
Yeah.
And then if you thought it didn't, if you thought it was weird, it gets even weirder. We cut to Lorca and the security guard. There's like a Gorn skeleton in the background, and they're like, they're watching the ship, the sister ship, blow up. They just shot torpedoes at it. They blew it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Gorn skeleton. There's all these weird little scary knickknacks all around. It's like a little shop of horrors for Lorca, and it is amazing. And he's like, "Did you save it?" And she's like, "Yeah, it's right here." And he goes up to this like force field, and there's the beast that was killing everyone on the other ship.
Yeah.
And he's got it as a pet. So like, this is like a super dark side of Lorca, because before he's just been like the good old boy being a captain. Like the southern good old boy, and now it's just like he is not what you think he is.
Yeah, there's some hidden things behind him, yeah, for sure. And then the show wraps. The only thing we just skipped is that returns to quarters with Tilly, and she gives her a book of Alice in Wonderland. So and gives a little interesting.
And wow, Tilly has a head of hair which it's not wrapped up. I didn't realize it was the same person. Like, it was huge.
She's got that curly Scottish or Irish hair.
It is huge hair.
but anyways, we get a little backstory about when she was on Vulcan.
She references Amanda.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, so. So that's where the show wraps, when where we see Lorca with the monster imprisoned on the Discovery. So that's gonna end well at some point.
Yeah.
So
that's gonna end really well. Like, this episode was fantastic. Like we were saying at the beginning, like, everything I love so much is all these new little puzzle pieces and things that are just gonna be super interesting. But the fact that they have like a magical instant transportaneous thing, that leads me to believe, like, everyone on Discovery is going to get killed or sworn to secrecy, that they can't reveal anything that was on the ship, because this is a traveling technology that's never seen anywhere else in Star Trek, except for maybe Section 31 people.
Right.
Because remember, the guy, I can't remember his name, but the guy who's, like, trying to recruit Bashir, it looks like he dies, but he doesn't die. He comes back later. And so, like, maybe they do have that instantaneous transportation stuff, but it's just for Section 31 people. And that's how you can get in and out of, like, you know, all these different places whenever they need to. So that'll be interesting, like, how they develop this and how they keep it secret from the rest of Starfleet.
This is absolutely fascinating. This episode, like we've been saying, it gives all these little drops of clues of what the show is going to be about, or at least the season, and the character setups. And I mean, it's so fascinating. Not what I expected at all, especially after the first two episodes. I didn't expect it was going to be like this.
The first two episodes don't set you up for a feeling of how the show really is going to be. The first two episodes are so much backstory and so much, this is who the characters are, this is what happens, this is how the war starts. The first two episodes is just almost all exposition. And then now we're getting into the meat of it, and the meat is amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. I don't know. Anything else you want to bring up about this episode? I mean, that hit you hard or was like super amazing for you to, I mean, obviously we've just watched this. So, I mean, there's a lot.
We'll probably have to, like, you know, go back and rewatch it during the week and maybe bring up things that we forgot to mention next week. Kind of like I did a little bit earlier with episode 1 and 2. I brought up a couple things that I know I didn't get to mention then. There's just so much to unpack, and we literally just finished watching this. Yeah. So this is as fresh can be. So if we're not 100% accurate with things, it's a first watch. We were just at a con for the last 2 days.
Yeah,
we're a little bit tired, very drunk.
No, but here's the thing: this is. You remember I said last episode that I was worried that this is going away from the philosophy and of Star Trek, of discovery and exploration. This is where it gets into it. It's like, here they're doing scientific research and something so bizarre and so weird. This is it. This is what I'm talking about.
It's such good sci-fi.
Yeah, maybe, yes, maybe this could be perverted into a warfare, or maybe it could be just a complete devastating to the whole fabric of the universe. But it's so fascinating. It's so unusual. It's so bizarre. And when we see what happens with the their sister ship and what the outcome from that crew is, then you got to know that something happened. Like, there's whatever they're doing, they're skirting on the edge of something that could completely destroy their crew and maybe more.
Oh yeah. Like, they could get really messed up. And what if the Klingons are able to get any of this information off the ship before a bunch of them died? Cause the ship did die like in or near Klingon territory.
Yeah.
And there was a living Klingon. So maybe some of them did get out. So that's interesting as well. The one thing that kind of like really surprised me was that this is the first episode we really see the Discovery for real, and we're seeing its sister ship also in that same episode. I was like, that's really weird, because usually we don't see sister ships like, you know, a season or two later, you know, the USS Yamato and Next Gen, or, you know, the Defiant and TOS, you know, things like that. Or you don't see them like in the first, you know, it's just kind of cool to see this. Oh, it's a sister ship immediately.
Right.
I was like, huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of gave me pause. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I'm like, huh.
One of the things that got me thinking about was just the use of spores and fungus. The strange thing, I don't know a lot about fungus and spores, but the thing that I do know is that when you see like a mushroom growing up from the ground somewhere, that's just a small part of the fungus system. Like, apparently it can reach for miles underground. Its spore system, its network throughout the area. Hmm. So, it's usually not when you see that mushroom head or grouping of mushrooms, that's just a small section of it. It's all hidden underground, and there's a lot, there's tons of, its organism is very large. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I'm not an expert on that. I don't know much about it for that much, but that makes me interested. Like, if this type of, spore or way they're talking about, transportation, if this is something that, has the same idea, is that, you know, this network travels under maybe subspace all throughout the universe or large parts of the universe. I mean, that's where my brain's going to immediately when I'm seeing that. I don't know if that's what it is. I'm just shooting from the hip.
It almost sounds like they're kind of like figuring out how to access like the Borg, you know, trans warp conduits type thing. Maybe that's what the Borg use, those trans warp conduits. That's not really going to transwarp, but just like special conduits that just move you super quick around.
Right.
It's, I don't know. Like, I mean, like they're teasing stuff, and I just see a really bad end for everyone on Discovery. Like, like Lorca, like just this one episode and how he's got this dual nature. Like, none of the other captains had a dual nature. Like, Kirk was Kirk. He slept with the ladies and he was brash and he was awesome. Picard, he was just, you know,
Philosopher King.
Philosopher King, you know, quoting Shakespeare, he's as good as good can be. Janeway was Janeway. I mean, she didn't have much depth to her. Sisko, you know, did what he had to do. He was badass, and you know, he
broke the rules when he had to.
He broke the rules when he had to. He was kind of like Kirk in a way, right. where he did what he had to do. But, you know, the captains have always been straight shooters. And, like, Lorca is not any of that.
Yeah,
he is two-sided, two-faced, and they let you know in the first episode. And to me, that almost makes him the most interesting captain yet. And this is the first episode with him, and I can't wait to see more of Lorca. And how – is he really bad, or are they just trying to make him seem bad? I don't know. I need more.
Because he, that, like you said, that, that room with the creatures and the Gorn, the and
little
all
shop
stuff.
Of horror. I think it was a Gorn skeleton. Did it look like, it looked like a Gorn because the skull looked like the Gorn from TOS. It had that shape to it.
Yeah. I guess
it could be something else, but to me that shouted Gorn.
But it was like his dungeon, his or his laboratory or something like that down below, and you know the castle. You know,
it's like he's it's literally in the bottom, because I love how this they do some great pullout shots, and it's like in the bottom of the back of the ship.
Yeah,
so cool.
And interesting too about the Discovery, they said it's just newly built. So this is like the new ship of the line. So I remember I did post on the group. There was somebody making some criticisms in a blog about Discovery, and you know, making the comparisons with that and Axanar and what have you. And one of the things they're saying, hey, you know, Captain Pike right now is flying around on the Enterprise. So the Enterprise
is old.
Yeah, but the Enterprise was old. It was much older than Kirk. I mean, I think it was when Kirk got it, it was easily 20 years or more old. That was an old ship. So if this is a new ship, then we're seeing a brand new Federation ship for that time. And it doesn't seem to leave canon for me at this moment. That could definitely be the case.
You know? And that's the thing. The Constitution classes were just the big boy ships. They were like the big, I guess, heavy cruisers. Discovery is a science vessel. It's probably not as big as the Enterprise. I mean, it's longer than the Enterprise probably because it's got some crazy nacelles on it. But, I mean, the ship's probably fewer decks. And it's probably – only reason it's bigger is because it's longer. So, I mean, I think it makes sense that it's not one of the main ships. It works. Yeah. I really hope they have an explanation for the ring system on the saucer, but I love the way it looks. They did. I love all the shots that go from out of the ship into the window. They did it like at least three times this episode to the three different windows on the ship. It was fantastic.
Yeah, and that beginning shot when we have the when they're picking up the prisoner shuttlecraft and they're kind of like showing the whole ship. It was amazing. Yeah.
And it didn't pander. It didn't take half an hour. It was a nice like 30-second flyby, and it was needed.
They didn't motion picture it.
No, they didn't. They didn't Enterprise porn it. We got to get all the shots, the nacelles just the right way. Show us your boobs, Enterprise. Yeah, do that.
Look at the nacelles on her. Ooh. Scotty's loving it. Yeah, just really fascinating. This episode is it. I mean, I wasn't totally on board, but after seeing this, I mean, I probably within the first 15 minutes of seeing it, I was completely, my hair was on fire. You know, I was like, this is it. Oh my God.
I'm sold. Cool. I am so sold. Like meeting Captain Lorca. And I was like, yep, I'm going to like this. I'm going to like this show. He is so great. And then getting some more information from Saru and, you know, getting more of his character. That was great. We haven't met the doctor yet. And I don't think we've met the chief engineer. I think the guy's a scientist that they were hanging out with. So I'm not sure. I don't even know if there's going to be a chief engineer that's a main character in this show. I don't know. There's a lot of science officers.
Well, it's a science ship. What makes me wonder is now we have Michael Berman, who obviously has mutinied before. Will she mutiny against Lorca at some point? Because maybe
when she finds his little shop of horrors,
right? Yeah. So I mean, it's like something's going to happen. Like things are going to come to loggerheads at some point.
I see lots of field promotions in the future. It's so like this, like everything, there's nothing good can come of this. I don't think like there's so much stuff that just doesn't make sense within canon because it doesn't make sense. I think everyone's going to die.
It's possible.
I think the instantaneous travel, like it's never mentioned ever, except for maybe in DS9 where Section 31 guys get around super quick. So maybe this is some of that, you know, I don't know.
Well, remember way back when we were all speculating and I said that I thought that Discovery was going to be a time travel ship? I mean, maybe not time travel, but maybe some way they can skip around the universe without, you know. without using warp. That would be an interesting feature of a ship. You know, maybe a specialized ship that does something that's so unique that nobody's ever seen before. So,
and it's or maybe it just falls apart, or maybe they lose their research, or the spores get destroyed, something, or it never comes up again.
Right, right.
Or it's a Section 31 ship, and it's all classified. They just can't talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
31, it is, the ship is NCC-1031.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I think we talked about that too at some point during the last year or so about the nomenclature on the ship.
Absolutely. Being 31.
That it's like, 31, you say.
Black alerts, black badges. It's like,
This has got to be Section 31.
And especially with Lorca, like his how creepy he is. I mean, that's definitely a Section 31 thing for him to.
It's Section 31 attribute.
I feel like that would be a very Section 31-ish attribute to be a very two-faced individual.
Yeah, so, man, what an episode.
Absolutely. I am sold. I cannot wait. I cannot wait for the next episode. Like, I was excited last week for this week because I felt like the two episodes, while it was, you know, it was the new series, it just didn't feel like anything happened. But now things are happening and I'm so excited. I hope you guys are watching. And if you're not, and if you didn't think that first episode was good enough to get you into it, I think there's like a couple day like free trial of CBS Alexa. Sign up for that free trial. And give that third episode, watch all three episodes again. Like, get at least to the third episode and see if it sells you at this point. Because if it doesn't, just cancel and don't have to pay for it. But I mean, I think you'll be surprised and happily so once you see this third episode.
This episode sold it completely to me. I was like I said, I was a little bit on the fence. I didn't like hate anything. I just was like, is this going to be just, you know, some kind of corporate dribble they're giving us, but this is good. This is really good. And, oh my God, I just can't say enough good things about it. I'm excited for the next episode. And if they all deliver even somewhat like this, I'm going to be blown away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I'm almost sad that, like I said earlier, that they didn't start off with this episode and do like a Cage like flashback to her court martial or something, you know. Mm-hmm. The kind of like, it's like, oh, this is awesome. You know, let's flash back. But I guess it would have been anticlimactic to do it that way too, I guess. So I don't know. I'm conflicted on how they should have done it because this episode was so good. Like, this would have been a great hook for people, I think. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
And
so
I just love how the show like just shifted gears so beautifully. It went from like, just like, oh, it's a prison show. Then it went to like the silly Tilly, who's just like, oh, blah, 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 like the airhead, and she's, and then it goes to like a horror movie when they're walking on the sister ship, and there's like noises and the Klingon shushing you. It's like that was creepy. That gave me chills when the Klingon was scared. I'm like, ooh,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, it was great. I'm so excited. I'm so glad there's new Star Trek on TV.
and not like anything we've seen before. So this is what. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, holy shit.
Absolutely. Holy shit indeed.
Great stuff.
Would you like a fortune cookie?
Yes. Would you like a fortune cookie? Family recipe.
Family recipe. We don't make shit in ours.
Oh, man. She opens it up. You will die.
You will all die. They probably all say shit. They probably all say that, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Computer, replicate me fortune cookies with the message saying you will all die and everyone.
Because like, I always thought that Michael Burnham was supposed to be the first officer. So like, Saru's the first officer. Does that mean Lorca dies and Saru becomes captain and she becomes first officer?
Man,
or does like or does like something happen where he gets deranked and she becomes first officer? Like, how is this all going to work?
I'm telling you, this ride is so crazy. I think by the end of this series, this season here, we're gonna be like, what the heck? It's gonna be like a roller coaster ride.
Oh, for sure, and with it being a strong arc all the way through, it's super exciting, super super exciting.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Oh, anything else you want to say about it?
everyone who's not seen this episode, anyone who's not subscribed to CBS All Access, this is it. My girlfriend said it, she didn't feel like it was very Star Trek-y. She said it just didn't feel like everything felt too advanced. And I'm like, no, it's got to be. It's got to look better than it did before. And they have callbacks. Like I said, that yellow card with the computer program on it. It's mm-hmm. just like TOS. It's such a great little callback. It was perfect.
Right, right.
I mean, it's great. I'm so excited for more callbacks like that.
Yeah, I'm not really married to any of the old, you know, like it doesn't have to look like the old stuff. So like
Star Trek's more than just skin deep.
Yeah.
Star Trek's about the philosophy. It's about the message. It's about all this other stuff. Like how it looks shouldn't be the most important thing. And I know I'm a big canon guy and I like to complain about it, but that's just kind of like the character I like to play. I like the nitpick and stuff like that. But Star Trek's more than just about the canon, more than just about how it looks. It's about it's about adventure and fun and messages. And I think it's really going to deliver.
Yeah, I do too. It's just so fantastic. This has been so wonderful. I just didn't expect it to be that good.
Yeah. Especially, yeah, because we were both kind of, you know, middling, cautiously optimistic. And now we're sold. We are hard sold. And, oh, yeah, it's sad there's only, like, what, six more I think five more episodes before the break.
Yeah, yeah.
Only five more episodes. And then there's, like, a month and a half break, and then it starts back up in January right. for another, like, six or seven episodes. So it's like, oh. The wait's probably going to kill us. They're probably going to do something crazy for the mid-season break. It's like, no!
I know our faces will be melting off.
Just like those guys on the sister ship.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to kill us because we're going to have to go back to like just talking regular Star Trek, and we're going to be like, oh, regular Star Trek.
It's just regular.
Right.
Oh man. So. We'll have to do it, and Brian Must Suffer when we get back to it because we'll be overdue. Right. 10 episode stint on those.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks for joining me, Aaron.
Yeah.
On the night of the episode airing. It's so exciting.
It's very exciting. And like you said before, we were just at Buffalo Comic Con for this weekend, so we had a great time connecting with people and
yeah, you'll be getting a second episode this week. I'll be putting out the compilation of all the things people I talk with at the con. In its own separate episode later this week.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, all our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. Our intro is done by Dave Wilkes. The show on Twitter can be found at Synthaholic Duo. I personally can be found at David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004.
Guys at GS Davis Art. And you can join the conversation at facebook.com/group/Synthaholics. And send us your emails at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. We have an email, but we're going to save it for next week because we're recording a little bit later than we would have liked. So that'll open up a whole new level of conversation. So we're going to save that for next week.
Yes, and send your feedbacks, what you've been thinking about this new show, or just send an audio clip on your phone, and you can email it to us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com.
Absolutely.
As well, please, if you have a moment, go to the iTunes and rate and review us. Give us 5 stars, preferably, and give us a little quick review. Tell us what you like about the show. If you also have a little extra money you could throw our way to keep our podcast going, we appreciate it. If you could go to Patreon.com/Synthaholics, any little donation per month could help. A buck a month would be wonderful.
Helps keep the light on.
Yeah, keep
the website going so you guys can have the show, all that stuff. It's a huge help for us. And the show's free to everybody, but for us there is money that goes into it, keeping the website going, keeping the web hosting going, keeping all that stuff going. That's cost a little bit of money. So anything you guys can do to help us with that is fantastic. And hopefully for our Patreon gets big enough one day we can visit more cons more often and get in front of you guys and that would be the most fantastic thing in the world.
But yeah, and also if you have a chance, tell a friend about what we're doing here. Synthaholics, we're talking about Discovery now, and if you have friends who are watching that or want to talk more about that or get into it and they don't know anything about it, hey, point them our direction. Word of mouth is a wonderful way.
Exactly. Have them join our group. Join the group yourselves and have some fantastic discovery conversations in the group.
As always, we appreciate every one of you for listening. We really enjoy, we're enjoying ourselves right now with this discovery show. We hope you are as well. And hey, just, you know,
we're in a new era of Star Trek. It cannot be more exciting than this. This is so much fun.
It's better than Christmas.
Absolutely. We got everything we wanted this week.
Yeah, we did. I definitely did. I loved it.
No, so did I.
It's wonderful.
Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. We laugh and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Yeah, so, but awesome episode.
Oh, yeah. It was so good.
This is like way, I mean, those, I don't know, those last two episodes were pretty good. This is like it.
This is, yeah, so much better. All right, let's get started. Yeah, this was like, it's so good. Like, I liked just about everything about it. I love Lorca. I think he might be my favorite captain.
He's your favorite captain?
I mean, if he keeps on like with this cool like dual like, this like, oh, I'm just a friendly old guy from the South trying to finish the war, and then he's like evil in his secret little room at the bottom of the ship.
Yeah.
Like, I like that. Like, that's like
that's awesome. Do we want to, like, go into full spoilers, or how do you want to do it?
Oh, most definitely full spoilers.